Welcome to episode 391 of the McSauce Podcast.
It's 92.
Is it?
Yeah.
392 of the McSauce Podcast.
Should I start over?
Yeah, sure. Welcome to episode 392 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty, and with me, as always, is Matt Casale.
Hello.
It is Wednesday night, November 10th, and you got a two-man booth, a McSauce Nation, just me and Matt here, bringing you the soft, sultry sounds of two white guys recording a podcast.
Yeah.
We really lose all cred without Ian here.
We lose the heart and soul of the podcast.
Are you allowed to say that? Can you make that joke?
No.
So it is just the two of us tonight, and we're going to get into just a bit of different topics tonight.
Yeah,
we're
a little bit of a freewheeling kind of just kind of riffing episode.
Yeah, like, you know, it's totally different than what we normally do.
Yeah, right.
We're going to talk a little Matt's disdain for everything.
Well,
at this
like,
point.
Okay, like I told you, I have a general malaise about modern entertainment in general. Like, I'm really struggling to, like, find myself getting up for a lot of different stuff. And maybe we can kind of dig into that a little bit tonight.
We're going to dig into that. We're going to talk a little, do a little what you've been reading, what you've been watching, and just, you know, just go around the horn with the two of us here. So before we go around the horn, we do housekeeping with Matt Casale.
Paul, I was so not ready for this. I think we have a website and we've got some social media stuff out there. McSauce.com, which is not working, so don't check that. But check us out on social medias like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It would just do a search for McSauce, M-C-S-O-S. You will find us. We're active there. That's the one. You don't want to miss it.
Great job, Matt.
Thanks. And, I mean, I could tell you where to find this podcast, but you're already listening.
Chances are you've already found it. And also go to TeePublic and buy a T-shirt. Christmas is coming.
They make great Christmas gifts.
And they do.
They fit. If you fold them right, like if you watch a YouTube video on how to do it, you can see how to fold it just so small that it could fit in a stocking.
Oh, look at that. You can buy a McSauce stocking gift. But they not only...
Do they sell McSauce stockings? McStockings?
They sell socks.
That's good enough. Just get a big one. There you go.
Yeah, you don't have to get a T-shirt. You can get a tapestry. You can get a big wall hanging. You can get throw pillows.
I can't
pillows.
Think of the word tapestry without thinking of The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Remember when Indiana Jones shows up at the castle and he's doing like a, I guess a German accent or something? He's talking about tapestries.
I don't remember that.
No?
That's a movie I haven't
seen. And he's
seen
like, I caught a sniffle
time.
And he did the fake sneeze.
Mm-mm.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
Don't remember that at all. But it does remind me of some like big ornate church wall hanging or something.
Yeah.
Not just like, you know, something you'd throw up behind the couch in the living room.
Right.
Big old McSauce tapestry. You can get shower curtains.
So wait. What is the McSauce tapestry that you can get?
You can get the three heads logo real big on a big piece of fabric.
Is it a blanket?
You can also get blankets. But no,
you're going to need for those cold winter months. I understand energy prices are going up. How better to save money? Don't even turn your furnace on, folks. We got you covered, literally, with a McSauce blanket. Huddled together with one of your loved ones. Get that body heat going. Stay warm and in style.
That's right, Matt. What a great commercial. So that's housekeeping. Great job on housekeeping.
Thank you.
So Earlier today, we were talking a little bit about what we're gonna talk about tonight. Matt was kind of like, I kind of hate everything.
I'm sorry.
I don't like anything.
And you know what I hate about hating everything? I hate that is what I do. I don't want to hate everything. I really don't. I can't help it.
Yeah, I don't want to hate things either, but sometimes
you just have to.
Sometimes you just do. And I think
let me explain. It's not okay, I don't know if I hate everything, but like I said, there's a malaise that is over me. Like I don't get excited about things and look forward to things very much. I was for the new Halloween.
Yeah.
And I am for a movie that I'm going to go see tomorrow night. It'll be after you guys listen to this episode, but on Veterans Day, November 11th, there's a one night only event, the re-release of Rocky IV, Rocky versus Drago. That's how he says it in the trailer, but it's like a recut of the movie. It's new scenes and new, like a brand new edit that I guess is going to try to bring it more in line tonally with the other Rocky movies. Because as you know, Paul, Rocky IV has always been a little bit of an outlier in terms of the general tone. And like, it has a very music video kind of cut to it. Like really, really
very
fast transitions.
Very bright, flashy. A lot of that grim, gritty Philadelphia streets grime isn't on this movie. It's very shiny.
Yeah, and the cuts, like, I don't think they're focused on anything before another transition or cut, maybe 3 seconds at the most, and then they're cutting. Whereas, like, the other Rockies stay on a character for a while. You can have monologues and things like that where the camera isn't moving around, and it just creates a completely different tone.
And perhaps some new music as well.
That's the rumor. That's the rumor. I personally think that would be awesome. Famously, Rocky IV is the one and only Rocky movie, if you're not going to count the Creed movies, because that has a different composer. But the only Rocky proper movie that doesn't have Bill Conti music is Rocky IV. Apparently, Sylvester Stallone, they're the same guy. Sylvester Stallone and Bill Conti, I think, had a falling out or some kind of maybe contract dispute or something around the time of Rocky IV. So Sylvester Stallone ended up hiring, I'm blanking on his name, Vincent Dip something. I'll look it up. But he scored it, and it's a very synthesized, very 80s kind of soundtrack. If I'm not mistaken, it's the guy that did the music for the Transformers movie.
When was which isn't good. When did Rocky IV come out? 88?
It came 87? Out. Rocky IV was 85 or 86.
Wow. That's a pretty big gap there. I thought that kind of cranked that, and Rocky V out sort of close together.
It was 85.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the Rockies in a very long time.
The music, I'm sorry, was by Vincent DiCola. So that's who did Rocky IV music, which is markedly different than all the other Rockies. With Bill Conti music, yeah. Because Bill Conti returned, I believe, for Rocky V and Rocky Balboa, which, Paul, you have not seen?
No, I haven't seen anything after Rocky V.
Rocky Balboa is my second favorite Rocky movie.
Yeah.
Yep. After the original, I think it's the best one.
Was that before or after Creed? After Creed, right?
No, it's before Creed.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So, like, in Rocky Balboa, we get a, you know, significantly older Rocky. It was the biggest gap between Rocky movies from Rocky V to Rocky Balboa. I think V was 1990 and Balboa was 2007, 2006.
I couldn't tell you.
I think it was 06. So was that 16 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then Creed came out maybe in what, like 2015, something like that. So maybe about 10 years there. But the Rocky from Balboa to the one that you get in Creed is much more similar. And he's kind of in the same place. Like, there wasn't much evolution in the character between those movies.
Yeah, I like the Rocky movies. I just don't really watch them for whatever reason.
You know,
if they're on, I'll like leave it on for a little bit, but like I never even like stumble across those. Probably because my television watching is very much I'm here for one specific thing and I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I will like have you know, have cause to just sit down and like flip through channels to see what's what.
Well, I know that we did an episode not that long ago where we were looking at different film franchises, and Rocky was one of the few that we still give an A tier rating to. You know, it seems like every movie series that there is at some point has a stumble that kind of knocks it out of like A tier, no matter how beloved the franchise is. Like Star Wars, for example. We love Star Wars, but not all of them. So, you know, as a whole, it's not an A-level franchise.
I'd like to watch all the Rockies again just to see. I'd like to watch the Indiana Jones movies again, too, because to this day, I haven't seen Crystal Skull.
That's crazy to me that you haven't seen Crystal Skull. You're not going to like it. You will hate it.
I don't know. Watch me come in here and be like, I don't know. Actually, it's very likely that I'm going to come in here and be like, I don't know, that was pretty good.
I don't.
Because, like, you know, which could, you know, take us to the malaise talk. I've said it before, The Last Jedi broke me. How could I ever give a shit about a bad movie again?
Paul,
I wonder if I saw Venom before I saw The Last Jedi, if I would have had more Venom for Venom.
Well, I don't remember you having a lot. Oh, you liked Venom. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Like, you just...
Because Venom's traditionally panned by most people except, like, me and Tom Hardy.
I feel like non-comic book fans kind of dig Venom.
Yeah, did we talk last week on the last episode? We were talking about what kind of fans like Venom, or was that before?
It might have been a couple episodes ago. I don't remember, but it's the same people that probably will like Morbius. There's people that kind
of... People that like Venom generally have a Punisher sticker on the back window of their pickup truck. Is that the sense that you're thinking?
Yes.
Yeah. The people that like Venom probably also think San Dimas High School football rules. That type of fan.
Yes, that's the exact type of fan. Yep.
Yeah.
I think that they should have set Venom in San Dimas. They put it in San Francisco. They got the first part right. Dimas over San Francisco.
Is what part of California is San Dimas? And I always thought it was near L.A. and San Diego.
Is it a real place?
Not up north.
Find out where the Waterloo Water Park is, and you'll find out where San Dimas is.
Waterloos. Those are a couple movies that I'd like to see. Another one, haven't seen it yet. Bill and Ted Face the Music.
I didn't enjoy it. I only saw Bill and Ted's Bogus Adventure once when I was a lot younger. It was in between, like, it had come out, but then it had been several years until I saw it. Yes?
What do you got? San Dimas is a city in San Gabriel Valley in Los Angeles County.
Ah, okay. So it's southern.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for Bogus Journey either, but really like Excellent Adventure. However, I'm not 10 anymore.
I bet I would watch Excellent Adventure and still enjoy it.
Just as much?
Just as much. Because I've seen it as like a teenager and in my 20s.
So maybe like Monster Squad kind of still holds up pretty well as a grown-up?
I think Monster Squad does hold up, regardless of my personal feelings toward it.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think Excellent Adventure probably does too.
They're in the same class.
Yeah, I was never crazy about Bogus Journey. Okay. I thought all the death stuff was really funny, but then they get into all that other weird ass shit.
It
felt like He-Man, the He-Man movie at times. Like, I don't know. It just felt real fucking weird. It was like an alien in the band with them by the end or something. Like, it just felt too fucking strange. But I'm going to be on board watching, going into Face the Music. I think I'll have a positive outlook for it.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, and at some point I'll watch Crystal Skull.
I would still bet money that you won't enjoy Crystal Skull, especially if you watch Indiana Jones 1, 2, and 3, and then the fourth one. I think it's going to be a tough watch.
Well, I mean, Indy 1, 2, and 3, man, they're good.
It's A-tier stuff right there.
They're good. I feel like Temple of Doom gets retroactively shit on, same as like all, like everyone used to love Return of the Jedi and now people sort of like shit on it.
I was thinking a lot about Return of the Jedi this week because it had been mentioned in a different podcast that I was listening to. And I don't know if there's like a better feel good action adventure movie in existence. Like there is just something so incredibly magical about that movie. And I was also thinking about the ending, how it's the perfect ending to the Star Wars saga. And I was juxtaposing that in my mind against the ending that is The Rise of Skywalker. And it's so like dour. It's so depressing. It's just Rey by herself. And at the, you know, at the old homestead, and there's nothing but like an empty shell and memories and everybody's dead. It's like, why would you end the Skywalker saga like that when you already had this beautiful ending of like celebration and friends and family together? What a sickening way to end it when you all, how do you even reconcile having a 9-part story with an ending kind of in the middle-ish that feels like a legitimate ending and then suddenly you want to kill yourself?
The original trilogy is a complete story. It doesn't need anything before it. It doesn't need anything after it.
You know what's funny? The sequel trilogy is not a complete story.
No, not at all. They really balled that one up. I understand, you know, Empire Strikes Back is the better movie, but like if I had it would be Jedi because it's joy, Matt.
It's joy.
Joy is the word.
Return of
it
the joy.
It brings me joy when I watch.
I want to see the Return of the Jedi logo, just Return of the Joy.
Like it really does. It's just so it's fun and it's good and like, you know, it's
like the sail barge. I mean, oh my God. The single best sequence in all 9 movies is the skiff battle, right?
Yeah.
And then of course a little bit later you have the speeder bikes. For the technology at the time, what an amazing sequence that is. Mm-hmm. And then of course you get hit with the emotion at the end with the, you know, the lightsaber duel, which was cool in and of itself, but it was made 1,000 times more powerful because you could feel Darth Vader's conflict and everything. And Luke, you could see he was getting to him and everything, especially that before they had their duel, the moment when Luke surrenders himself and he turns his back to Darth Vader. He's like, I know you're not going to kill me now. And then Darth Vader lights the lightsaber. He's like, really?
And Luke's like, oh.
Yeah, right. They should have added that in. Like, Luke should have turned real quick.
I like heroes being heroes. And Return of the Jedi is nothing but heroes being heroes. And it's got those big action set pieces.
It's unbelievable.
Know, it's got, you know, bad guys going down. It's, you know, your good guys win. You know, sure, there's some casualties in the Death Star battle, but, you know,
who
the people we met are there at the end.
Yeah, nobody significant died.
No, no, that's, you can, I think you can tell an emotionally relevant story without having to kill somebody. Like, everyone shows up at the end. Lando's there. Wedge is there.
You tell an emotionally relevant story without having to kill somebody.
I feel like, you know, there's so many comic story arcs where, you know, they kill someone and you know they're going to bring them back because, I mean, that's just what comics do. But I feel like a lot of the time writers kill someone just to kill them. But you don't have to do it. And I think Return of the Jedi is a perfect example of how you don't have to do that. Like, you know, the bit where like Luke and Wedge hug in the Ewok village, I'm like, fuck. Yeah. Is anything more satisfying?
Right, than that? Right.
It's just so, it's so wholesome. It's just so good.
It really is remarkable how Return of the Jedi let you have a celebratory ending, whereas the sequel movies literally systematically one after another killed all those heroes one movie after another, as if like people would enjoy that.
I don't know. I get that it's
should Star Wars be first and foremost?
Luke Skywalker.
I guess should it be funny? Should it be joyful? Should it be action packed? It should bring you joy. That's probably like the number one ingredient.
So they don't kill Rocky in any of the Creeds, right?
Correct.
Right. You don't have to do it. They don't have to kill Indiana Jones. He can just ride off into the sunset in this next one because, I mean, there's a good chance Harrison Ford doesn't make it to the next one.
Right, right. He's not going to make it through this production, probably. There were many indications with the production of this movie that tell us that the fedora and whip are going to get handed to a new hero that is not Indiana Jones or a guy.
So what's it going to be? It's going to be like, I don't know, like, you know, Annie Smith and the Chest of Destruction.
I don't know what Annie they're Jones. Thinking. I think the rumors seem to indicate that they're positioning some kind of time travel dimensional kind of thing so that way they can essentially keep it together in the same continuity but at the same time go back in time.
It sounds like some JJ Star Trek bullshit.
And I know it does. Go back in time and have a new hero that isn't Harrison
Ford. Is JJ making these?
No, James Mangold is directing it. I think Spielberg is a producer, but he's not even directing it. I doubt John Williams will do the music. It just has too much that, and George Lucas has nothing to do with the story. To me, it's missing too many vital ingredients to be an Indiana Jones movie. It
probably doesn't need made.
It definitely doesn't need made.
You know what you can do? Reboot it.
Or create a new character with some new adventures that aren't exactly like Indiana Jones.
Didn't they do that with National Treasure and Tomb Raider? And to a lesser action adventure-y place, the Da Vinci Codes?
Yeah, perhaps. They also did it with Uncharted, which is pretty popular. And it doesn't
That's
have
coming
to be
out, right?
Oh, the movie, yeah. I didn't see the trailer, but I have no interest in
Tom Holland and
terrible casting.
And
Paul.
Who else?
I don't know.
Mark Wahlberg?
Oh yeah, yeah. Mark Wahlberg plays Sully. Like, neither one of these characters look anything like their video game counterparts. Who, like, maybe that would have worked in the Atari, you know, 2600 days, but not today when the graphics and everything looks so lifelike. It's
was
like
Nolan North, one of those guys.
I believe he voiced Nathan Drake.
Yeah. Like I don't know anything about the video game. I know it's a video game, so I don't give a shit what they look like. So yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
He looks like Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Do you think Nathan Fillion and
Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Do I think Tom Holland will grow up to look like Nathan Fillion?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. Maybe just hire Nathan Fillion to do it. I don't know. Maybe he's a little too old.
Well, isn't this like Uncharted Begins? Nathan Drake Begins.
I don't know. I'm not interested
since
in it.
Since he's so young. Like, and from what I got out of the trailer, Mark Wahlberg's his like mentor and
yeah, well that's essentially what he is in the video game series as well. But I don't know. I'm just so turned off by the casting. It's like I'm not a huge fan anyway. I've only beaten the fourth game in the series. There's four of them, and I played and beat the fourth one. It held my attention the whole way through. It was actually a pretty fun game.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care specifically because I don't know Uncharted, whatever. I like Tom Holland, you know, I like Mark Wahlberg, so this looks like it could be fun. Like, right. I have no emotional stakes in this project.
If you like Indiana Jones, you will probably enjoy Uncharted.
So, why can't they just remake Indiana Jones?
I don't know.
Why can't they just reboot it? Like, why do we need to, like, wheel Harrison Ford out again?
Well, there's not many characters, like fictional characters, that are so intrinsically linked to the actual actor that portrays them. Maybe that's one of them. I don't know.
Well, if it was up to me, I just wouldn't. I'd just stop. I just wouldn't do it anymore.
Maybe focus on something else.
But yeah, I mean, you could do a million things. Why do
create
you
create a new hero? It doesn't have to be a globe trotting.
You're just making Indiana Jones because it's got cachet. The name has cachet, but I would just be like, that's it. Remember this, love it, enjoy it, because you're not getting any more.
Yeah.
But studios aren't going to do that because they have, you know, the name alone prints money. So we're either going to get him handing down the mantle or we'll get some reboot with someone else that you don't like.
But I mean, that's part of the malaise, Paul, like new Indiana Jones. Who would have ever thought that I would not be excited about a new Indiana Jones, but I'm
not. After Crystal Skull, me.
I liked Crystal Skull. It hasn't aged quite as well as I would have hoped. I think I made some excuses for it. It's very much like what the prequels are to Star Wars. Like, to me, still really good and enjoyable, but flawed. You know, it definitely has problems, but it's still Indiana Jones. This, I'm worried, is not going to be Indiana Jones. On the flip side, maybe there's a chance that they might take the Force Awakens approach, which is like, hey, let's make sure we don't pull another prequel, you know, thing and make a really solid movie like The Force Awakens mostly was.
I hope
was.
At least the sequel trilogy taught people some lessons.
It didn't. It didn't. There's too much proof to indicate that.
Well,
it
you
didn't.
Just said it. You just said maybe it has.
Yeah, but it didn't. It didn't.
You don't know that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not see He-Man Revelation?
Well,
because it literally followed the exact playbook of The Last Jedi.
Yeah, but
Do go on.
Well, like I was trying to think more along the lines of how, like, Rey is a cool character. Like, I never had a problem with Rey. I had a problem with how quick she got good. But, like, I never had a problem with Rey or Daisy Ridley. I thought she was great. It's the way that trilogy was haphazardly built, seemingly as they were filming it, they were writing it. Like, and it's a mess. So, like, I'd like to think that filmmakers going forward saw what a disaster those three movies as a whole together were, because they are very disjointed. They saw what it did to the fan base. So maybe, you know, the next indie creators and, you know, Jason Reitman on Ghostbusters Afterlife, they're going to take a little more care and, you know, not, you know, callously, you know, dismiss what happened before.
Well,
this coherent story.
It's only one, right? They're not going to do a whole trilogy. So
Afterlife?
No, I'm sorry. Indiana Jones 5.
Unless they do it in heaven with Harrison Ford's ghost for the for 6.
Indiana Jones and the harp
and
of
the pearly gates.
Pearly gates. Are we sure he's going to go to heaven? He's murdered a lot of people.
Harrison Ford?
Indiana Jones.
Oh, well, Harrison Ford is going to heaven. So
probably
that's where you're going to have to film that movie. So you really dress up heaven to look like hell.
I think that they have, I think heaven has a production budget.
You don't think Indiana Jones would go to heaven? He's a good, he's like the good guy.
He killed a lot of people.
For the right reasons. He killed a lot of bad people.
Well, yes, but
he was doing hell a favor.
He killed like a lot of Indians. He killed a lot of Middle Easterners, not just Nazis. We don't know to what degree some of these people's evil quotient was.
Everyone in Temple of Doom, bad.
They might have been chaotic.
They kidnapped
good.
Children and put them, you know, put them to work. Bad. Those were bad guys. Mola Ram, bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy that was going to kill Indy, that was when he shot him with the gun and the sword, that was self-defense.
Okay.
Don't worry. He's going to heaven.
Okay, Indiana Jones is going to heaven. Got it.
It's
going to
be Indiana Jones and the Pearly Gates, not Indiana Jones and the Seventh Circle. Oh, that sounds good, though, doesn't it?
Say it again.
Indiana Jones and the Seventh Circle.
Seventh Ring?
Are there seven circles of hell?
I thought there were seven rings.
Circles, rings. Who could ever know? They made Shang-Chi's rings bracelets, so who the fuck gives a shit?
It's Lord of the Circles.
Lord of the Bracelets.
Paul, so, what you been reading these days?
Matt, I'm so mad at myself because I bought the entire thing. And this is purely an OCD thing that once I got so deep into the run, I had to get the rest. I bought all 12 issues of Tom King, Mitch Gerads, and Doc Shaner's Strange Adventures. Comic book, for those of you out there wondering what that is. I don't like Tom King as a comic book writer. I knew I learned that lesson, but man, Mitch Gerads and Doc Shaner's artwork, particularly Shaner's work. I love his work. It's so good. And I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. This is going to be like a story about Adam Strange. And like, you don't get a lot of Adam Strange stories. This could be pretty neat. But man, was it a slog to get through. So the story of Adam Strange is I forget what he does on Earth, but he gets zapped to the planet Ran and essentially is sort of like their Superman. He has like a sci-fi jetpack and a ray gun and stuff. And he kind of like saves Ran from different alien invaders.
Is it like Flash Gordon?
Yeah. But I always thought Adam Strange was really fucking cool. Great costume, great look. But boy, Tom King went out of his way to make Adam Strange and his wife Alana the worst fucking people. Complete unlikable pieces of shit.
Tell us why.
And I kept waiting for the story to turn and be like, oh, that's why this was all a ruse and like they're being bad for the right reasons. And by the end of the book, you're like, ah, they are heroes. No, nope, not heroes at all. Alana's a fucking cunt the entire fucking book. She is a miserable fucking chain smoking bitch the entire fucking book. She kills Adam Strange in the end because Adam Strange essentially sacrifices his daughter to save Earth from an alien invasion. So it's like he's a huge piece of shit. She's a huge piece of shit. They're trying to cover up all this stuff, and Mr. Terrific kind of figures out what happened and like rats them both out. So, but it's this big fucking complicated story. It doesn't like there's so much.
So Mr. Terrific is the hero of the Adam Strange book.
Yeah, but much like at the end of Rise of Skywalker, the book ends and everyone's fucking miserable. Like Mr. Terrific figured out the mystery. He uncovered truth, but the expense was he ruined a family. Adam Strange is dead. Alana's a murderer. Their daughter now has to live with her murderer cunt mom. Like, it's so fucking dour and miserable. I'm like, ew, this is fucking gross. And I'm mad at myself that I didn't dump it after like issue two. But I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt. Artwork is gorgeous. Such a good looking book.
But they have different artists. They couldn't 12 issues. They couldn't keep one artist on it.
They are on every issue because Mitch Gerads does the present day and Doc Shaner does the flashbacks.
Oh, that's cool.
Because it's told like Adam Strange is essentially like a war criminal, and that's part of what Mr. Terrific uncovers. So all of the Doc Shaner stuff is the flashbacks to see what led them up to this point on Earth where the Justice League is kind of putting them on trial for something they did, but they don't quite know what the problem is.
Got it.
But yeah, I kept waiting for it to get good, and it just never did. And that I learned my lesson. I'm done with Tom King now.
Finally.
I can't do Tom King.
You've hated Tom King for a decade.
I know. Like I said, I'm mad at myself.
Yeah, I hear you.
But you know, I am a completionist. I wanted to see it through. I did. And probably next week I'm going to take all 12 of these issues back to the shop and be like, do what you want with them. I don't even want them in my fucking house.
Donate them to a landfill.
And they're black label books too, so I think they're like $3.99 a pop. So what's 4 times 12?
I don't know. 4 times 10 is 40, right?
Well, I'm out like $50 or something.
Son of a bitch.
But yeah, it's a real, real bummer. I just wanted it to be.
It sounds really depressing.
It is. It is. Like, I don't want to read. Depressing superhero comics. Like, I don't want to read depressing DC characters.
Well, in fairness, let's be fair. It's Black Label. Black Label's on the darker side. Maybe you're not supposed to. Those books aren't supposed to elicit joy necessarily.
Yeah, I guess.
So it being Black Label and Tom King. Yeah, you should be disappointed with yourself.
Yeah,
I'm dummy.
So disgusted with myself. But yeah, I guess not, but it can still be enjoyable. Yeah, I got that.
I hear you.
The Batman Constantine Black Label, like the big like expanded format.
I hate
books.
Those.
It was like a three issue
comic book. Would you
three
please?
Issue run of that. And that was It wasn't great, but it was all right.
Well, like, that's a step in the right direction. I take it Tom King didn't write it.
Well, like, you can tell an interesting story and it can be like sort of dour and enjoyable. But this just wasn't from start to finish.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. And like
I don't you can tell a dark, gritty Batman story.
Yeah.
But like, man, I don't want a dark, gritty Adam Strange story.
Maybe
like,
they
I
did.
Think I don't want my like I want my heroes to be heroes. I don't want it doesn't need to go in that direction.
Maybe he already hated Adam Strange and just didn't care. Maybe that he had in his mind, I want to tell a story that deconstructs a hero. Who could I do that to? Who doesn't matter really? Because like, who was talking about Adam Strange before Tom King wrote him? Let's just pull this kind of C-lister off the shelf and do a story for him.
Yeah, and that's kind of where he found success with that Vision book that he did. Because who the fuck gives a shit about Vision?
Yeah, like, it does seem like this would be more fitting at like Image with a totally unique character that doesn't deconstruct like maybe somebody's favorite character, you know, like maybe there's somebody out there that loves Adam Strange and then read that and was like, really?
I don't even love Adam Strange. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I'm familiar enough with Adam Strange, like the Ran Thanagar War. I think it was like a 6-issue run. There were a bunch of 6-issue runs that all dovetailed into, I think, 52. That like 52-issue book that was called 52. Remember that, Matt? You're looking at me like I'm making this shit up.
No, you know what? Apparently that's the face I make when I'm trying to literally do some kind of math equation. Well, wait, how many times does 6 go into 52? And I'm trying to like make like an exponent joke. That's the face I make.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a bunch of different like 6-issue minis that led into the beginning of that 52 run. And I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Our comic fans out there, hit me up on the old Twitter and let me know if I'm wrong about that. But there's cool Adam Strange shit out there, and this was just like, man, what the fuck?
You know, it talking about Adam Strange and how we said he's kind of like Flash Gordon a little bit in terms of, I guess, sort of, I don't know. I didn't read it, but I kind of feel like Flash Gordon is just begging for a modern kind of retelling, right? Like it was big in the 20s or 30s. And then obviously they did comic books throughout the years and then the movie in 1980. Right. But, like, he's been kind of a dormant character, really, ever since 1980. There's a line of toys. I don't know who makes them, but I've seen... You know how, like, when you go to Target, they have that section by, like, the movies, like, on the back wall? It's, like, collectibles and shit. Like, you'll see action figures there that you wouldn't ordinarily see, like, in the toy aisle.
No.
Take a trip to Target sometime. Go to the movie section. Go to the back wall.
I will go to that wall.
Yeah,
go I've to been that in some Targets. I
yeah,
look
walk
for,
up and down the wall. Kind of you'll know when
pop
you
in
get
the toy
there.
Aisles at Target.
This isn't a standard toy aisle,
right,
though.
Right.
This is in a totally different.
You'll see Flash area. Gordon toys there.
There are these like Flash Gordon action figures. There was Flash Gordon, and there was Ming the Merciless, and they had a really cool look. They were kind of like McFarlane toy caliber. And the designs on them were awesome, I thought. Like, very classic, but at the same time kind of modern. And, boy, that would be super cool if somebody would tackle that in a feature film. That would probably get me kind of excited.
Yeah, well, unless Tom King was writing it.
Yeah, right.
So I guess I don't...
Paul, I got some good news. They're making a Flash Gordon movie, but I got some bad news. Tom King is writing and starring...
So I guess they're not doing that New Gods movie anymore.
Yeah, who was attached to that? Was it?
It was Tom King and Ava DuVernay.
Ava DuVernay.
And part of me is like...
Hitler's girlfriend.
No, that's Ava Braun. This is much, much different.
Much worse. This is much worse.
Well, Ava DuVernay, I think I like. Tom King is what I have a problem with, but I also don't like the New Gods. So, like, this is like this fucking project, like Tom King writing a New Gods movie, that's my fucking hell. Like, give
well,
me,
nobody
like,
would
my
make
least
you
favorite
see
creator
it. You don't
with
have
my
to
least favorite characters. Yeah, like, yeah. Just awful. So, I mean, that got cut, and I'm like, all right, it's cool.
Yeah. They also, just this week, they canceled that, they indefinitely postponed the Patty Jenkins Rogue Squadron movie.
Yeah.
Which, fine.
Another movie I could really give a shit about. You know what? Just call it Space Planes.
Right. Well, what I'm hoping for is that the movie would explain why they call these things Rogue whatever. Like, there'd be an explanation for the name, because I've always, you know, felt a little empty inside not having an origin for the name.
Are you fucking serious? Why do you need to know that origin? It's just a fucking call signal.
Oh.
That's all it is. It's
you
just
mean
a
like
cool
Han Solo's
word.
Name is just his name?
It should have been just his last name.
Oh, okay.
Not because he's Solo.
Not because he's by himself?
Fucking dumb. I'm fucking stupid.
Because all the pilots wore Rouge and whoever, like, they were going to call themselves Rouge Squadron, but somebody read it wrong and was like,
typo. Yeah.
They were a bunch of clowns or something.
Yeah, I don't think we need to know why they're Rogue Squadron
we don't
or why
need it
they're
at all.
Echoes on Hoth. Like, we don't need to know any of that. Like, this is just it's going to be about, like, the cool group of the cool fighter team that goes on
apparently
clandestine missions, and they're the Rogue Squadron, and they're like the Navy SEALs. They're the ooh-rah, the cool people. I think that's Marines.
Like, it's somebody. Bobby
but
Lynn,
if Luke Skywalker is not in your Rogue Squadron, I don't fucking care.
Well, I got bad news for you, because Bobby Lynn can weigh in on this, but I'm pretty sure that this movie is supposed to take place after episode 9.
Oh, really?
Part of me is like a little bit interested in, like, okay, what are you going to do next after you've like ruined it all? Like, how you think you can bring it back? But Paul, they've announced Rogue Squadron. They've announced a Kevin Feige Star Wars movie, a Taika Waititi movie, and a Ryan Johnson trilogy. Bold prediction. None of those get made.
Yeah. Like,
not as feature films. Maybe there will be some, they evolve into like a show or something. Kind of like, I think the Josh Trank movie that was supposed to happen became the Boba Fett show. That could happen, but none of those will be a feature film. And Ryan Johnson will never make another Star Wars thing ever again.
You've and been
rightfully
saying
so.
That.
And rightfully so. Yeah, I have been saying that. I've been saying that for years. You simply cannot let the guy that, whether you like The Last Jedi or not, or you think Knives Out is the greatest movie ever, this is still the guy that fractured the fan base in a way that didn't seem conceivable. Well, he did it. And yeah. And they are still paying for those repercussions.
Matt, why don't you tell me what you've been reading?
I've been reading a few different books. It's very stupid to try to read more than one book at a time, but sometimes I get excited that I want to start something else, and then I, you know, have bookmarks in the middle of several different books. But the one that I've been reading over the last couple of days is this book called Womb by Duncan Ralston. And what kind of intrigued me about this book.
W-O-O-M.
W-O-O-M.
Not
womb.
W-O-M-B.
Correct. It's like room, but instead of an R, it's a W. Never mind. So what really got me was on the cover, there's a quote.
Is this a comedic book?
No. It says, "Trust me when I say this, this is messed up." And it says at the bottom, "an extreme horror novel." And here's another quote about it. Ralston's somehow painted a delicate portrait of humanity using blood, shit, bile, and dirt as his oils and a thick-handled sledgehammer for the brush. I don't think I really knew what that meant until I started reading it. And I mean, like, I haven't gotten to the point where...
Very descriptive, huh?
It's very descriptive, and I haven't gotten to a point where there's been any real horror yet, but awful things and disgusting things. Like, Paul, there's a moment... They're talking... There's this character who has this, like, heroin-addicted girlfriend who kind of got mixed up with the wrong people, and they said, "Hey, look, we'll let you off the hook, but you got to do us a solid. You have to be a mule for us and basically stuff a whole bunch of drugs into your stomach in little baggies, or we're basically going to kill you." So this character talks about how he like had to swallow all these little baggies and that are just like filled with heroin. And then he just can't take it anymore, and he shits out several of them, and he has to go fishing in the toilet bowl for them.
Very descriptive, huh?
What I just said was the Cliff's Notes version of it. I mean, you get the details. You get, like, all the little details, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because his girlfriend, once she realized he couldn't hold down all the drugs, he's like, "No, you're going to start stuffing some of these in yourself so you can swallow them or shove them up your ass, or what's another orifice?
Up your nose?
No.
Oh, you mean vagina?
Yes. So she did that, and it is... She ODs because one of the bags breaks inside of her.
That'll do it.
And he has to go fishing to get them out. And that's not all that he found.
Well, found Indiana Jones.
Found it. Yeah.
So is this one book? Is this one story? Or
yeah, it's just one short story. Stories? No. It's one story. It's, I guess so far it's about a dude who has a history with this particular room in this motel. And for some reason, I don't know why yet, he calls an escort service, and he's like, "I need you to send me the biggest girl you got. The bigger, the better." So they send this big fat hooker, and you know, she's trying to butter him up when she gets there. She wants to get it on, but all he wants to do is tell this weird story about weird shit that happened in this room. And one of the stories that he tells her is the story about this dude who shit out all these baggies of heroin, and this woman that accidentally OD'd because one of the bags broke inside of her. And then her boyfriend goes to fish it out, and he pulls out a fetus, as you do when
that's
you go
where
fishing.
They come from.
Yeah.
Do they get why it's called Womb?
I'm not there yet. It really is disgusting. Like the graphic detail, like honestly, what I described is very tame compared to the way that it's written in the book. So yeah, it is messed up. I think it's all for shock value. I'm struggling to see like what the real narrative here is. Maybe it'll kind of come together. It's certainly, it says it's a horror novel. It's not that yet. It's just gross.
It's just gross.
And,
gross.
Yes. And it's, like, there's a morbid curiosity as a reader to, like, see what is this? And, like, it's kind of like a horrible car accident. You kind of want to look away, but you sort of want to look because we're kind of voyeuristic in nature. it's kind of bringing that out in you as a reader, I think, if you can get through it, but it's really bizarre. I mean, I'm curious to see where it goes, but it's unlike anything I've ever read before, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like a pretty novel story, even if it is just mostly, gore without any real story to back it up.
Do you want to hear a small passage or no?
No, I think it's going to take too long.
God knows we don't have time for that, Paul.
Well, is it like a paragraph or are you going to read like a page?
I was going to read a chapter.
No, definitely not.
I was kidding. I was going to read like a paragraph.
Yeah, read a paragraph. No, I can't see, so don't fuck around. And then an hour later, you're still reading and you're going to be like, that's just the paragraph.
Right. No, I know. I'm trying to find the...
So I assume you were at Barnes & Noble and you saw this on the shelf.
No, I ordered it online. Mm. It was like recommended to me, I think, through Amazon. I was like, okay, yeah. Check it out. So like a kid diving into a cold lake after the thaw, he plugged his nose and plunged his hand into the soupy bowl to feel around for the bags. His fingers caught one immediately, and he pulled it out, dripping gobs of wet filth on the rim of the bowl and the floor tiles, plop, into the sink, back into the bowl. Feel around, grab a handful this time, no point making more trips than absolutely necessary. Drip, drip, drip on the tile and the counter and plop into the sink. Up to the middle of his forearm with goopy black particles, but still he plunged in again to his elbow this time, reaching down into the bowl where it started to bend. And when he was done, what felt like an eternity later, all told, there were 27 bags in the sink waiting to be cleaned and swallowed again.
Mm.
Just gross.
Gross. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that.
No.
I'd like to think that I've really done everything I could and geared my life into a place that I wouldn't have to ever be in that situation.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he was doing it for somebody else who he didn't even like, who a couple minutes later accidentally ODs and dies anyway.
Yeah.
I would have like taken, what is it? An enema, and just gotten the rest out of there and, and left the room and been like, I'm done.
Yeah,
wasn't my problem.
Yeah. I can't imagine, but I guess people do that.
I guess. I think in the book they said that he had swallowed like 100 little bags, which it's like, really? Like, I don't think that's possible. I mean, I don't know how small the bags are, but. Even 100 of them, you would think you'd start to notice a bulge in your stomach.
Yeah.
Gross. And then they had to get on an airplane because they're mules, right?
Right.
And then get to their destination and then
shit them out.
Evacuate their bowels. But
well, I hope you like womb. And it's not just gross for grossness sake and it tightens itself up by the end.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not 100% committed to finishing it if it doesn't do something other than just be gross. Like, I'm all for, hey, if you want to be gross, that's fine, but have a story too. Right now, it feels like there's not much of a story.
Yeah. I read two episodes of Daredevil this week
two
as well.
Two issues of
Daredevil. But once this Matt Fraction runs over, I'm not going to get it anymore. And I think that's going to leave one book in my comic pull list.
I appreciate that you're still buying comics to some degree.
Yeah, and Saga comes back in a couple weeks, I think. So I'll see that through, and then I think that'll be it. And then I'm out.
Done forever.
Well, I don't know. I think this type of thing is, cyclical.
I think it is too.
Maybe in, 10 years or so.
There was
something may draw me back in, but as of right now, yeah, I kind of ready to be done. Like, I used to go every week to the comic shop, but now, like, once a month, maybe.
Yeah. I have had this feeling over the last couple of weeks, like, that I want to read a comic book, because I haven't read a comic in a minute. I don't know what I want to read. I don't know if I want it to be new or old. I kind of want it to be new, because I feel like if you're into new stuff, it kind of like rekindles like a passion that can continue on. Whereas like if you just dig into old stuff, it's more like you consume it and then where do you go from there? So like I just want new stuff to be good, and then we can continue to kind of revisit old things and in between. But I don't know.
Yeah, I at some point I may through Comixology get the first Far Sector trade. It's a Green Lantern book with some new Green Lantern named Joe Mullen.
Yeah, maybe check that. Oh, number 7.
Yeah.
Sector 7.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see what that's about, but yeah, generally I just kind of there's other things to be doing with my time that bring me more joy, like Return of the Jedi does.
Nothing quite brings you joy like Return of the Jedi. And I mean that quite sincerely, actually.
Yeah, I'd probably not. That's probably the peak of joy. A lot of things make me very happy.
Yeah.
Very happy. Very close to joy. The John Williams Superman music. That makes me very happy.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say John Wilkes Booth.
No.
That's just what my mind was finishing it, because you like had a stutter there and you didn't say it all the way through. So my mind finished it. And right. It's like, nope, that's wrong.
I don't know why. Certainly there's other John W's. Yeah, Return of the Jedi, probably peak of joy for me.
I'm glad it's not John Wilkes Booth. He was a bad guy.
In hell with Indiana Jones. No, with Mola Ram.
Right.
Yeah, and that guy that got his face melted by the Ark of the Covenant.
I forget what his name was. Shame on us.
Horrible indie fans. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
My name is Matt Cassell.
We'll see you next time.